Sky Blazers. Makers of Wonder Bread are proud to present Sky Blazers, dedicated to the gallant men of the United States Air Forces and to those pioneers whose adventurous lives made modern aviation possible. Sky Blazers, our flight commander for tonight is Colonel George Vaughn, second-ranking World War ace, holder of the United States Distinguished Service Cross and the British Distinguished Flying Cross. Colonel Vaughn.
Hello, Sky Blazers. I'm glad to be back at flight headquarters again. We've got an exciting story to bring you tonight. But first, a word from the bakers of Wonder Bread.
Well, I certainly don't have to remind any mother listening in that next Tuesday is the school day. In some towns, it's the first day of the new semester. And you can bet that plenty of healthy, growing boys and girls will start the term out right with a good, nourishing school luncheon that Mother herself has fixed. Two big sandwiches of ham, cheese, and peanut butter made with delicious, slow-baked Wonder Bread. For as every good mother knows, Wonder Bread is the bread for supremely delicious sandwiches. Each slice is tender, delicate in texture, with a rich golden crust, home-baked aroma, just right for the finest sandwiches your children have ever eaten. You see, each delicious loaf of Wonder Bread is actually slow-baked to give you the extras in flavor and goodness. Baked in temperature-controlled ovens, 13% longer than many ordinary bread. And this marvelous slow baking helps to keep Wonder Bread moist and tender, tempting and delicious. Bread at its best for the finest sandwiches Mother knows how to make. So decide now to start your growing youngsters off to school with the best luncheon you can fix. At least two big, delicious sandwiches made with golden-crusted Wonder Bread, an orange and a banana, and maybe a delicious Hostess Devil's Food cupcake. Delicious? Well, just listen to the praise your school lunch will win. Remember Wonder Bread, slow-baked Wonder Bread, when you visit your food store. It's the loaf that probably more grocers agree is the best in their store than those who choose any other kind. Wonder Bread, in the famous wrapper decorated with red, yellow, and blue balloons. Each loaf, slow-baked, for lasting freshness.
Sky Blazers, this is Colonel Vaughn speaking from Flight Headquarters. Tonight it's my privilege and pleasure to bring you the story of one of America's greatest flyers, Major Al Williams, known throughout the world for his important contributions to the development of modern aviation. At the age of 23, Al Williams became a United States Navy flying cadet. A few months after Williams received his wings as a Navy flyer, he made his first notable contribution to aviation. One day in 1918, Lieutenant Williams rushed into his Virginia home to be greeted by his mother.
Al, where have you been?
Mom, I've done it.
Done what?
I've shown the HS2 that I'm the boss.
HS2? Al, what on earth are you talking about?
Sit down, Mom. I'll tell you all about it.
Wait a minute. Al? Have you been stunting again?
No, Mom, not stunting. I've been conducting some scientific tests in the air. You see, the HS-2 is a new type of Navy flying boat that's been giving our pilots a lot of trouble.
What kind of trouble?
Well, the plane has a habit of falling into spins and crashing. Remember that scale model I've been working on?
Yes.
I studied the model and worked out the details of how to bring the HS-2 out of spin. And today I did it in the air. I put the plane into a nosedive of 5 complete turns.
Al Williams, do you mean to tell me that you deliberately put an airplane into a nosedive?
Yeah, not only that, Mom. I put her into a tailspin as well.
Oh.
I found out a way of bringing the HS2 out of both spins and nosedives. Isn't that something?
Oh, Al, will you please tell me why you risk your neck in these crazy stunts and flying at terrific rates of speed? Are you out of your mind?
No, Mom. And I'd like you to remember that I'm not a stunt flyer, nor am I a speed flyer for the mere sake of speed.
Then why in heaven's name do you do it?
I'm positive that speed and maneuverability are the very fundamentals of air strength. We can't prevent crashes until we find out why they happen. And the only way to do that is Take a plane up and find out.
No, but why can't you be like other naval flyers? Why can't you do your routine work and be happy in the knowledge that you're a good pilot?
Mom, I want to be more than a good pilot. You must realize that everything I'm doing and everything I'm going to do has a purpose.
It's just daredevil stunt flying.
Ah, you're wrong, Mom. No pilot is perfect till he can get himself out of any kind of a jam his plane gets into. There's still too much of mystery in aviation. Well, Mom, I'm going to take the mystery out of aviation.
Skyblazers, in those years, Al Williams was known to aviators as a bug hunter, a flyer who takes a plane into the air to find out what does or does not make it tick. Flyer who looks for unknown bugs in a plane and solves the mystery of flight. In 1922, Lieutenant Al Williams heard that tests were to be made on a new racing plane called the Panther and went to New York to watch the tests. At the flying field, the test pilot and the owner of the Panther were having an argument. Listen, Clark, I found out the truth about your Panther. That ship's already cracked up a half dozen times and killed four pilots.
No, McNeil, you're just excited.
I won't fly that ship.
But, McNeil, I've had the design changed since the Panther last cracked up.
Yeah, it's not changed enough for me.
The pilots were to blame for the crashes.
Now, don't give me that, Clark. They were the best in the business.
Mind if I join the fight, gentlemen?
Huh? Or you?
Lieutenant Williams, the Naval Air Force.
Well, glad to meet you, Williams. My name's Clark.
How do you do, sir?
Say, I think I've got the fastest racing plane in the world, but my test pilot, McNeil, has turned yellow.
Yeah, that's a lie. The simple truth is that I found out this Panther racer is a man-killer.
Any racing plane is dangerous.
Just a minute, gentlemen. Mr. Clark, is McNeil telling the truth?
Well, the Panther did crack up a few times.
How many times?
Seven.
Yeah, and four of the test pilots were killed.
Well, Mr. Clark, you can't call McNeil yellow for not wanting to fly it. Was the cause of the crack-up the same in each case?
Yes. The plane always took off perfectly. Then, as the pilot gave it full throttle, the Panther dived.
You're sure it wasn't a stall or a spin?
It was a nosedive at 200 miles an hour, straight to the ground.
Hmm. That's strange, McNeil. No trick to pull out of a straight nosedive. Any student pilot could do that. Now, why couldn't those test pilots pull out? Mr. Clark, what about the three pilots that weren't killed? Did you talk to them?
Yes, they all told the same story. The plane suddenly refused to answer to the controls.
A mystery plane, huh?
Ah, there's a jinx on
it. Now, that's stupid rot, McNeil. An experienced flyer knows there's always a reason back of everything. When aviation finds a mystery it can't solve, that'll be the end of aviation.
Yeah.
Mind if I take a look at this Panther?
We're glad to have you, Lieutenant Williams. Just step over here. Ever see a trimmer-looking ship?
Seems to have plenty of tail surface to control a plane.
Plenty.
Mr. Clark, I'm looking for a fast racer. I might be able to use your plane.
I hope you can.
Now, first I'll make a thorough ground check, and then I'll take her up. There must be some reason why the Panther shows her claws, and my test hop may find the answer.
Test this ship, Lieutenant, and you can have anything I've got.
Yeah. Including a great big bunch of lilies for your coffin. Say, Clark, Lieutenant Williams sure knows his stuff. He went over the Panther like he'd built her.
And he didn't find a thing wrong.
No, not on the ground.
Use your eyes, McNeil. He's flying it, and it's okay.
Give the Panther time. Just give her time.
There. He's opening up the throttle.
And how?
I tell you, that plane is okay, McNeil. She'll do better than...
There goes the dive.
Pull her up, Williams. Pull her up.
Yeah, it's a jinx plane.
Well, he'll be killed.
Warn the crash car.
He's cut the engine, so he won't burn.
So long, Lieutenant Williams.
Hey, Clark. The Panther.
He's pulled out of the dive.
It's a miracle.
I knew Williams could do it. He's landing. Come on. Hey, what happened, Lieutenant? You were diving straight for the field, and then...
I cut the engine so I wouldn't burn up. Then I found the controls were working again, so I simply leveled off and landed.
If that isn't a mystery, Lieutenant, what is? I tell you, that's a jinx ship. You were lucky.
And I was lucky, McNeil. But I've got an idea of the cause of the trouble.
What do you think it is?
I'd rather not test say till I'm sure, Mr. Clark. But after I've taken her up and let her go into that dive a few more times...
You mean you want to take the Panther up again?
Certainly, why not?
Well, all I've got to say is you've got more nerve than anybody I've known, Lieutenant. But from now on, you're living on borrowed time.
Godblazes, Al Williams did make several more test hops in the Panther. The next day, back in Washington, Lieutenant Williams reported to his flight commander concerning his investigation of the Panther.
And so, Commander, I found out that at high speeds, the slipstream of the Panther's propeller hit the tail surfaces in such a way as to force the ship into an uncontrollable power dive.
Can it be rebuilt, Lieutenant, to eliminate the trouble?
Yes, by lengthening the fuselage and getting better balance between wings and tail.
But that can't be done in time for the Pulitzer race.
No, sir. That's too bad. I'd counted on entering that race.
Williams, I like the nerve and judgment you showed, clipping the claws of the Panther. I'm going to give you the chance to fly the official naval plane in the Pulitzer race.
The official Navy plane? Thank you, sir.
But you understand, winning that race isn't enough. We want you to break the world's record as well.
Yes, sir.
Close course racing is a dangerous thing, Lieutenant. So try not to break your neck. But get that record.
Ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the second lap, according to unofficial timing, Lieutenant Williams of the U.S. Navy is in first place.
Williams is on the way to a record.
Yes, Commander. Wait a minute. Something has happened. He's swerving.
Good Lord.
The other flyers are passing him.
He's lost control.
He almost hit the third plane.
Something's gone wrong with his plane.
Williams is back in the race.
Now, the way he cut that pylon, I thought he was going to lose a wing.
Well, Williams will never make up the distance he lost. He'd be lucky if he gets fifth place.
The way he's flying, he'll be lucky if he finishes alive. I'm going over to the hangar, Clark. I want to be there when he lands, if he does land. Williams! Lieutenant Williams!
Hello, Commander.
Are you all right?
Commander, I failed you.
Never mind that. I'm glad you're still alive. What happened?
My fault. I let the ship get out of control.
Oh. What's that on your face?
Chemicals. A fire extinguisher pulled loose going around one of the pylons, hit me in the face, and let loose a load of chemicals. That lost me the race. Sorry, Commander.
Yeah. In spite of that, you managed to come in fourth, and you apologized.
But you said you wanted that speed record.
Next year, Williams, you're going to be in this Pulitzer race with a special job and every help the Navy can give you. You've got the kind of nerve that wins in the end, and the Navy is proud of you. But, Skyblazers, by the time of the 1923 air races, the world's record had been broken twice. And while Al Williams might win the Pulitzer race, it seemed impossible that he could break the world's record. But Williams had an idea. And at St. Louis, just before the race, he went to the judges' stand.
What's the time, gentlemen?
Gentlemen.
Telegram for you.
Yes, Lieutenant Williams.
I'd like the judges to hear my plan for starting the race.
Yes, go on.
I plan to start 4,000 feet back of the judges' stand and cross the starting line in a power dive.
Well, that's unusual, Lieutenant, but absolutely within the rules.
Sounds like a clever idea.
Will the other judges agree with you, sir?
I'll ask them.
Gentlemen.
Yes? What is it?
Lieutenant Williams wants our approval of his plan for starting the race.
Well, as long as he crosses the starting line, what does it matter?
Well, I'd like your official approval, sir. I intend to start back at the judges' stand, cross the line in a power dive.
Yes. Just so you cross the starting line, you have my approval.
Mine, too.
Yes, and mine also.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
The trains take off at 1 minute intervals and are clocked as they pass the starting line. Next starter, Lieutenant Williams of the United States Navy, flying a special Curtis racer.
But where is Williams? He's not on the runway.
Over there, behind us.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Look at him come. It's a power dive.
He'll never round the second pylon at that speed.
He'll have to fly wide.
Well, he'll back himself out for 15 seconds if he banks his plane at that speed.
Gentlemen, if Williams doesn't crash going round the pylon, I prophesy we're going to have a new world record.
Thanks. Please let me through. Thank you.
Hurry up, Williams. They want you and the judges.
Aye, Commander. There's so many people. Excuse me, please. Excuse me.
In here, Williams. Sit down, Commander. Sit down, Lieutenant.
Thanks, Judge.
Thank you. I suppose you're feeling pretty happy, Commander.
The whole Navy is celebrating tonight, Judge. After all, we don't break a world's record every day. In fact, not one record, but three.
Three?
Yes, Lieutenant. The world's record for 100 kilometers, the world's record for 200 kilometers, and the world's record for 250 kilometers.
Well, you hear that, Williams? Three records.
But why didn't you tell us before the race that you were going on for an extra lap, Lieutenant? It was sheer luck that we got your time for that extra lap that gave you the 250-kilometer record.
I didn't even know I flew an extra lap till the race was over.
What?
You see, gentlemen, I had three chalk marks on the control panel, one for each lap. Each time I passed the judges' stand, I rubbed out one of those chalk marks. Well, I must have forgotten to rub out the last mark.
So you went around an extra lap.
At that speed, I don't wonder you missed count.
Lieutenant Williams, did you happen to notice your speed on those turns?
Well, Judge, on one turn around the pylon, I saw 280 miles an hour on the airspeed indicator.
Did everything go black?
Completely black. Seemed like minutes was probably not more than 10 seconds before perfect vision returned.
10 seconds at 280 miles an hour? That means you were flying without controlled vision on every turn around the pylon.
That's right.
Williams, from now on, you're living on borrowed time.
I've heard that before, Commander, from a test pilot. I'm still not superstitious. To me, flying is a science. As long as I can think straight, I expect to go right on flying, hunting for the bugs in aviation.
God blazes. Later that same year, Al Williams broke the world's record for 300 kilometers. And then, with the three most important world speed records in his possession, he turned from speed to even more dangerous flying, aerobatics, or what you probably call stunting. But to the military pilot, aerobatics is not stunting. The military pilot knows that his ability to preserve his own life and to destroy the enemy depends upon the speed of his plane and his ability to maneuver or stunt. For several weeks, Lieutenant Williams had been working on the most dangerous kind of stunts, those that involve inverted flight. One day, he was in the living room of his home when his mother came in.
I kick the left rudder and the plane goes. That's right.
Al Williams, have you gone crazy?
Huh? Oh, hello, Mom.
Well, why in heaven's name are you lying down on the floor with your feet in the air?
Come over here, Mom. I'll show you something. You see this little cardboard plane?
Yes.
Now watch my hand as I turn it upside down.
Oh, Al, something's wrong with you. Lying on the floor, playing with toy planes.
I'm just practicing an outside loop and inverted flight.
Oh, yes, son, of course. Inverted flight. Now we'll just get you to bed and call the doctor.
Watch this one. You see, my right hand's on the stick, and my foot's on the pedal. As I start to roll over...
Yes, Al, you can tell me all about your little game later. First, I want to take your temperature.
I'm not sick. I'm practicing flight.
Now, I know enough about aviation to know you practice things in the air, not on the living room carpet.
Not if you want to live.
What do you mean?
No pilot ever got hurt flying in a model plane. When I get through with this game, as you call it, I'll be able to extricate myself from any position my plane gets into.
And you're sure you're not sick?
You bet I'm not. In fact, this kind of practice is a form of life insurance. If I try out all my ideas on the floor before I try them in the air, I won't make any mistakes when I get up in the plane.
And you don't want to see a doctor?
As a matter of fact, Mom, I do. I figured out everything that can happen to the plane in an inverted outside loop. Now I want to know what can happen to me.
Al Williams, you'd better see a doctor.
What is it you want, Williams? A general physical examination?
I want an honest opinion, Doctor. I came to you because you've got good sense and you don't exaggerate. Of course, this outside loop will be dangerous, but...
Dangerous? It'll be fatal, Williams. Suicide.
Well, I've got two safety belts, Doctor. One to go around my waist and another go around my shoulders.
Now, listen to me, William. If you try an inverted outside loop, which has never been done by man and never will be done by man, this is what will happen to you. First, your eardrums will burst, and your veins will split open. Then the blood vessels in your brain will explode, and your eyes will pop out.
Huh? Is that all?
No, that's not all. You'll lose consciousness. And centripetal force will fling you out of the ship, despite all the safety belts you can use.
You believe this to be true, Doctor?
Cold facts, Williams. Cold facts.
Well, if what you say is true, flying will never be safe. But I don't believe it's true, Doctor. I'm going to find out which of us is right.
Yes? Oh.
By doing an inverted outside loop.
Sky blazes. 3 days later, at the Anacostia Field, Al Williams sat at the controls of a fast Navy pursuit plane, ready to take off for his daring test of inverted flight. His commander and his mechanic, Miller, were standing by. All set, Williams?
All set, Commander.
You sure that special carburetor is going to work all right upside down?
My mechanic can tell you. We inverted a similar engine on a special block and ran it 12 hours with its carburetor. Right, Miller?
Yes, sir. It worked perfectly, Commander.
Ah, that's encouraging.
Be sure your special safety belt holds, Williams.
I got two of them. One around my legs and one around my shoulders. When they're both fastened, my body won't be able to move an inch from the seat. I'll have full freedom, my hands and feet.
Good. God bless you, Williams, and good luck.
Thank you, sir.
I repeat that, Lieutenant. Good luck. Williams is handling that plane upside down with all the precision and sureness of regular flight.
Yes, sir, Commander. Lieutenant Williams said he'd worked out every maneuver carefully with his model plane. He doesn't expect much trouble.
Yeah, but remember, everything's reversed when he's flying upside down.
He's making terrific speed.
Probably getting ready to go into that inverted outside loop.
He's starting the loop. He's climbing.
This is the easy part now. Danger comes when he reaches the top and starts down.
I'd hate to be Lieutenant Williams now.
George, I wonder what it's like up there. Coming over the top of the loop, starting down the other side. I wonder what Williams...
Doesn't feel too bad. Nothing I can't stand so far. And maybe the doc was wrong. Well, there's the real test now. Stick forward. Down. 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 Nurse rushing up. Airspeed 250. That's the fastest.
Keep that stick forward. Around. Around. Straighten out. Black. Everything's black. Hold out. Fly by instinct now. Now I can see again. Better now. Better. Better. Okay. Where's the earth? Now down below. Up. Earth up above me. Up there. Upside down. My head. Pounding in my pulse. Like an engine in my head. Pounding. 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 Pounding.
And, Commander, that's more or less how it felt.
I'm certainly glad to see you down on the ground, Williams. You gave me a few thrills I thought I was too old to feel.
I got a few thrills up there myself.
When you came down on that inverted tailspin, I thought you were all through.
It's a lot harder to get out of than an ordinary spin.
Well, Lieutenant, now that you've demonstrated that inverted flight is possible, I suppose you'll take things easy for a while.
No, sir. I'm going right up again tomorrow and the day after that and every day until I know how to execute every possible maneuver of inverted flight. Until I crack the mystery of aviation.
Al Williams, you're a bug hunter, all right. American aviation owes you a tremendous debt. Skyblazers, that was the opinion of our Congress in awarding Al Williams the Distinguished Flying Cross. They said...
For extraordinary achievements while participating in duly authorized aerial flights, during the month of March 1928, in which he made a study of the action and best methods of control of a violently maneuvered airplane in inverted flight, these and many other flights made by Lieutenant Williams in the interest of the advancement of the state-of-the-art of airplane design and control were attended by exceedingly great personal risk of life. But nevertheless, they were voluntarily and willingly undertaken by him, even though he was well aware of the danger involved. As a result of his flights and studies, he was able to evolve certain principles and to make practical application of them to the end that aerial maneuvers have been made safer and methods have been developed far more fully and accurately testing the capabilities of various types of airplanes. Lieutenant Williams has been one of the pioneers of high-speed flight, and his distinguished feats in the air, development work, study, and technical articles have all contributed to the knowledge and safety of aviation and have aided in keeping the United States well to the fore in the realm of the world's aviation.
Today, Al Williams is manager of the Gulf Oil Aviation Department and the writer of books and syndicated articles on the subject of flying. He is recognized as one of the outstanding authorities on aviation in the country.
Thank you, Colonel Vaughn. Skyblazers, I'll bet every fellow and every girl, too, agrees with me there's nothing better for lunch than a good big sandwich. Ah, you bet. A nourishing man-sized sandwich filled with cheese or ham salad, egg salad or peanut butter and made with delicious slow-baked Wonder Bread. For honestly, Wonder Bread is so good, so delicious, that it puts the heart of a good sandwich on the outside. Two slices of snowy white bread with that home-baked wheaty aroma, golden brown crust, and that marvelous flavor that just keeps on tasting like another big bite. And listen, the way to get sandwiches like these for school lunches is to be sure the name Wonder Bread goes on the grocery order every day. Delicious, slow-baked Wonder Bread, the loaf that's the official favorite with Skyblazers the nation over, the bread probably more great air pilots agree on than any other kind. Get Wonder Bread, the one best bread, with the next grocery order. Look for the famous wrapper decorated with red, yellow, and blue balloons. Each delicious loaf slow-baked for lasting freshness. With this evening's broadcast, the current Skyblazers series comes to a close. During the past 39 weeks, the makers of Wonder Bread have been proud to bring you these thrilling stories of the men who pioneered the skies and whose adventurous lives made modern aviation possible. Now, an important announcement. Next Saturday evening at this same time, on this same station, you'll be hearing the theme song of radio's newest program, The Marriage Club.
All right, everybody, go home.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Marriage Club, dedicated to the world's oldest institution and the pursuit of marital happiness. Husband, do you know how to handle the situation gracefully and tactfully when your wife takes off her shoes in a movie and loses one of them under the seat? Ladies, does your husband make funny remarks about your new hat in the presence of other women? Do you know the approved method for handling such matters? Well, if you don't, let the Marriage Club be your guide. Uncle Jonathan will be on the air. Hear the questions they send in. The answers given on the air by husbands and wives. It's radio's newest and funniest show next to Sky Blazers rehearsal. And each session will be under the guidance and inspiration of Haven McQuarrie. Remember, next Saturday evening, this time, this station, the Marriage Club, presented by your hosts, the bakers of delicious, slow-baked Wonder Bread. Be sure to listen.
Go home, no overtime.
Yes, believe it or not, it's the Columbia Broadcasting System.